Appreciate Seth leading us in our songs this morning, and appreciate him teaching us some newer songs, and that's always good for us, and newer sentiments that we can carry home in our heart. Also appreciated him leading Home of the Soul. I hadn't sung that one in a while, and my mother sang alto, so I can still hear her singing the alto in that song. And I remember as a child hearing the ladies in the chorus, "He is the light oft," and you know, kind of slide down like that, and that's a fond memory of my mother. So appreciate those songs, both new and old. This morning, if you were to pick one New Testament principle that Jesus laid down for all the world to keep today, what New Testament principle would that be? If we could get everybody at one time for one day to follow his teaching, what would that be? Well, one thing that might come to my mind is, or our mind would be the matter of baptism. But keep in mind, we're talking about all of us, including ourselves. We've already been baptized. So it's not baptism. It's not going to church or something along those lines. It'd have to be something else, something for every one of us all over the world, some 7+ billion people. Well, if I had to pick one, if Congress was meeting and they said, "Chris, we're going to make another national holiday. We've got Thanksgiving, where everybody, one day out of the year, is supposed to be thankful. And we've got appreciation days, and we've got this day and that day. We're going to make another day. Pick one Bible principle." One thing that comes to my mind would be picking what we call the Golden Rule. Wouldn't that just drastically change our world if every one of us would just simply practice the Golden Rule? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, that very, I hope, familiar passage to all of us. And hopefully we're teaching it to our children, as we may have heard when we were children. We paraphrase it and we put it into our words, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." I want us to think this morning about this very basic and simple principle that Jesus laid down in the Sermon on the Mount. His words were in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. He had just been talking about how that if we ask our Heavenly Father, He will give us only that which is good, verses 7 through 11. Our Heavenly Father is going to treat us well. And then He turns right around and tells us how we need to be treating others in verse 12. "All things, therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even so do you also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." This morning I want us to consider this very familiar text, but how often people will corrupt that and change that. And I want to remind us this morning of how we need to get back to this very familiar text that I'm sure we teach in our Bible classes, and I'm sure we mention it at home. We've heard it so many times that we can quote it. It's familiar to all of us, and yet, do we practice it? I would be the first to raise my hand that I don't always practice the Golden Rule, do you? I mean, what causes problems in the home? What causes problems in society, in marriage, raising our children? Isn't it a violation of the Golden Rule? I know that we have a number of problems in society, but it seems like much of it is boiling down to this, that we don't treat others the way we want to be treated. And so I want to encourage us this morning to get back to just a very basic and simple principle that maybe we know so well that we've become so familiar with it that maybe we have forgotten it. This principle is familiar to all of us, and yet it's often corrupted and perverted and abused and even neglected. I want to encourage this morning by looking at the teaching of Jesus to get this back in our life. And the good thing about it is, as soon as the song of invitation is over with, we can all start practicing it. It's something that we can go out and do immediately. It's not theoretical and hypothetical and something you have to wait for. We can start it right after services. And all throughout the day and throughout this week. Let's look this morning at this familiar text. And eventually we're going to get to the teaching of Jesus. But I want to begin this morning by looking at some perversions of this. And you know people who are like this. For example, someone might say, "Do unto others as they do unto you." In other words, as they treat you, so you treat them. This is what has led many people to return evil for evil. In other words, do unto others as they do unto you. So if they treat you poorly, you treat them poorly. This happens all the time in society. This is rendering evil for evil. This is what Jesus corrects right here in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the Pharisees had this idea that you can get people back. They had twisted Exodus 21, which said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The old law said that the punishment must meet the crime. There must be a justice there. But they took it to mean that if somebody treats you bad, you can treat them bad. Badly. Poorly. And we discussed last week how that we're supposed to live by a higher standard. And we're supposed to return good for evil. But some have the attitude that you do unto others as they do unto you. And so if they're mean to you, you're mean to them. That's not what Jesus was teaching. We are to return good for evil. And we studied that last week. We're to live by a higher standard. Jesus didn't say, do unto others as they do unto you. He said something different. So we're going to go out this week and there are going to be people who mistreat us in different kinds of ways. But we have to act better. Here's another one, another way in which this golden rule has been perverted. Do unto others before they do unto you. This is what has been called the iron rule instead of the golden rule. This is what, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, this is what the robbers practiced on the man that was going down to Jericho. These robbers had this attitude that I'm going to do unto you before you do unto me. I'm going to mistreat you. I'm going to harm you. It's the might makes right attitude. If I can run roughshod over you, and if I can rob and pillage you and beat you to an inch of your life, then I'm going to do it. Before you have a chance to do it to me. Or even if it doesn't even involve, you know, robbing or killing someone, it could be, I'm going to put them down before they have a chance to put me down. So this man falls among some robbers, verse 30, stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. This was Cain's approach to the problem that he had with his brother. I'll just kill my brother. This was the Diotrephes approach in 3 John, verses 9 and 10. If I can control and run roughshod over the church, I'll do that. I'll control things. I'll get the upper hand before they get the upper hand on me. So some people today live by this principle. Do unto others before they do it unto you. A lot of times it involves harming others and hurting others. What they don't realize and what they forget is that we're to love our fellow man. Turn with me to Romans 13. And love is not going to do that which harms others. We're to love our neighbor. This fulfills the law. And then verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. We're not going to treat our fellow man, our family members and church members, we're not going to treat them that way. Love does not work ill toward others. But some have this approach in life. Might makes right. If I'm stronger than you and I can overpower you in some way, verbally or physically or otherwise, I'm going to do it when I get my chance. That's not what Jesus taught. Here's another one. Do unto others when they do unto you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. This is the principle of, I'll do nice to somebody when they do nice to me. Or I'll do nice to somebody when they're in a position to return the favor. Turn to Luke chapter 14. This is the principle of reciprocity. This was the way the Pharisees acted. They had this attitude that, you know, I'll invite people over because I know they'll invite me over to their house. And I'll do good to them because I know that they'll do good to me in return. And Jesus says, wait a minute, guys. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try being nice to people who can't return the favor to you? See if you'll do that. No, I don't want to do that. I just want to be nice to people who can be nice to me. Luke 14:12. He said to him also that had bidden him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor rich neighbors, lest haply they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, bid the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. You'll get paid back in the judgment day for your good deeds. He's not saying don't ever have dinner with your family or friends. He's saying, don't have this attitude that when you do something nice for somebody, you do it because you know they're going to do it in return. There's going to be a payback. Look at verse 14, 13. Do it to people also who can't pay you back. That shows that you're truly generous and kind. We're generous and kind and benevolent even when others cannot return the favor. I'll give him some money because I know that he'll give me some money back. Why not just give him some money if they can't give it back? Feed someone who can't feed you. Give someone a ride who can't give you a ride. Well, I'll never get paid back. Yes, you will. Jesus said, in heaven. And that's what's important. Think about that, friends. What if Jesus had taken that approach with us? Turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to die for someone who'll die for me? No, that doesn't work, does it? He did some things for us, even though we could not return the favor. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's not, well, I'll come out of heaven and go down there and help them because I know that they're going to turn around and help me. No, we were not in a position to do that. And yet He still did it for us. So we're not going to live by that principle. Do unto others only when they can do it back to you. That's found in Jesus' day and it's found in our society today. Here's another one. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. I actually was reading some material in preparation for this lesson where some atheists said that this is actually better than what Jesus said. Because You do to others, you talk with them and you find out what they want in their life and then you help them with that. Well, there's a big problem with that. Hey, give me some drug money. I need some drug money. Okay, well, if that's what you want, I'm here to help. No, it doesn't work, does it? You catch a guy robbing a bank, he's running out of the bank and you catch him, he says, hey, if you really love me, you'd let me go. It doesn't work like that. We don't do toward others what they would have us do toward them. They don't make up the rules. That's the problem with that. Hey, I'm going to need you to lie for me at work to the boss. I'm going to need you to... No. No? It doesn't look like that. What's happening with this particular, and the reason the atheists like this position is, it makes the world the standard of what is right and wrong. That's the problem in Judges 21:25. Every man was doing that which is right in his own eyes. Every man is coming up with their own standard of what is right and wrong. We do not do unto others as they would have us do unto them, because they are not following God's word often. But we're being told, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. No, they don't make up what's right and wrong. And neither do we. We're to follow God's word, not what others want us to do. And a lot of times people will come to us. And it could be close to home. It could be somebody else. I need you to do such and such for me. I'm not going to do that if it's not according to God's word. Here's another perversion of Jesus' golden rule. What's happening is, it's golden, and people are trying to turn it into something other than golden with all these other things. It's golden for a reason, because it is the highest level of morality that we can show toward others, and we don't need to let the world pervert that in some kind of way. Here's another one that we might be tempted with. Do unto some others as you would have them do unto you. Turn with me to James chapter 2. This is the sin of partiality. There's some other people that I will practice this with. Not everybody in the church and not everybody at work, but there's a few that I really like. They're my close friends, and I'm going to do unto them as I would want them to do unto me, but I'm not going to do that with everybody in the room. So I'll just do it unto some others. That's the problem that is mentioned in James chapter 2 and verse 1. And notice in James chapter 2 and verse 1 that the very first verse says, my brethren, this is talking about Christians, hold not, we're not supposed to do this, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. We're not to have partiality and prejudice in respect of persons. And it's not just a matter of a social matter or an ethnic group. It's anything. Anything that we're doing, we're not to single somebody out and treat them better than somebody else. Jesus didn't say, do unto some others, like your really close friends. We're going to find out later, it's anyone and everyone. And what's interesting is, look at verse 9. We don't think of this as being a sin. It's a sin. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. That's a serious thing. And yet it goes on all the time in this country. We're to be like our Heavenly Father, who is without partiality. He is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5:21. When we do things even in the church, we are to treat everybody equally. We don't have a close circle of friends that we cut some slack with, but we don't really do that with other people or certain kinds of folks in the church. We take a little bit different view toward Bible matters than other people in the church. And no. When Paul told Timothy to conduct himself in the local congregation, and certainly involves the preacher, but any and all of us, thou shalt observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing by partiality. The context, if you back up a few verses, is dealing with sin among elders. There might be the temptation, well, they're the elders, and so I'm not going to address their sin. So I'm going to treat them differently but someone over here who's not an elder, I'm really going to come down hard on their sin. Everybody gets the same treatment. And we could apply that outside the matter of elders sinning to anything in the local church. not to have partiality or prejudice, where we have a close group that we really like, and we're going to practice the golden rule with them, but others, you know, they're not really in our circle, so we're not going to practice it with them. Jesus didn't say do unto some others, but do unto others, period. And there are some folks, admittedly, there are some folks that it's hard to practice the golden rule with them. But Jesus didn't say, here's a list of exceptions of people you don't have to practice it with. So you can see how these things are perverted. Here's another one. Do not do unto others what you do not want them to do unto you. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 10. This would be the priest and the Levites. So the robbers, they're living by the iron rule. Might makes right. I'm going to clobber you when I get a chance. Here's the priest and the Levite. Let's look at Luke 10 again. Here's the priest and the Levite. They're practicing what we might call, or what some have called, the silver rule. It's not quite as good as what Jesus said. It's just a little different. And that is, I'm not going to mess with you if you don't mess with me. I'm not going to bother you and you don't bother me. And that goes on in the world too. And that's the priest and the Levite. Verse 31, and by chance a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'm not going to mess with him. I don't want him to mess with me. We're just not going to get involved. This is the, it's not my problem, mind your own business, I pretty much take care of me, number one. I'm not going to hurt you, but neither am I going to get involved in your life either. And frankly, you don't have to help me in any way. When I'm down and out and have my problems, I'm not asking you to come help me. So I'm not going to do for you, and I don't really need you to do for me. Well, that was the priest and the Levite. They didn't actively harm the man. Their attitude was, it's not my problem. And then verse 31, the priest did that. And then in verse 32, the Levite did that. And these are supposed to be religious men. They're going by the what we might call the silver rule. This is what James would describe as, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here's the priest and the Levite walking by. They know that they're supposed to help. I'm not going to do that. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This would be the man, the parable of the one talent man, Matthew 25:25, where he was fearful and afraid and just went and buried his, I'm not going to do anything with it one way or the other. The problem with this is, first of all, it's not what Jesus taught. But secondly, the Scripture teaches that we are to be actively looking for opportunities to help others. Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. It's not a matter of I'm walking by and I just don't want to get involved, but that's the opportunity right there. And ignoring it doesn't change it. Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good, and we need to be like that. Titus 3:1, we need to be looking for good works that we can do. You know, I want to share with you a news story that is over 50 years old now, but it illustrates this very kind of thing that's going on in our society, what some have called the silver rule. Let's remind ourselves again of what it is. Do not do unto others what you do not want them to do unto you. Okay. I'm not going to get involved in their life, because if something similar was to be happening in my life, I would be perfectly fine if they didn't get involved with me. Let's look at a news story that made national news, I guess, the year before I was born. Over 50 years old. In 1964, there was a case that shook this country at its very foundation. Catherine Genovese was returning from a night job to her apartment in the respectable Kew Gardens area of New York City. As she approached her home in the early hours of that April morning, she was attacked by a knife-wielding assailant. He stabbed her repeatedly, fleeing the bloody scene as she screamed for help, only to return when no one responded to her cries, stabbing her again and again until she died. Subsequent police investigation revealed that 38 residents of the neighborhood admitted that they witnessed at least part of the attack. No one went to her aid. Not a soul telephoned the police until after she was dead. The nation was incensed. A United States senator from Georgia read the New York Times account of the incident into the congressional record. Everyone wanted to know, how could this have happened? Well, following the tragedy, two professors, and we're glad that they're now weighing in on this, two professors from Harvard University wrote an article analyzing this episode. They alleged that their essay was not, quote, intended to defend, certainly not to excuse, the conduct of Kew Garden neighbors. On the other hand, they argued, now listen to this, quote, we cannot justly condemn all of the Kew Gardens residents in light of a horrible outcome which only the most perspicuous could have foreseen. With typical academic confusion, the professors reasoned this way. Listen to what they said. Number one, big cities are organized on a different principle. Friendships are not based upon nearness. Those who might have helped the unfortunate woman were simply not nearby. Can you imagine the Good Samaritan saying, no, well, you know, I come from a place where we help one another, but over here in Jerusalem, going down to Jericho, people don't really work it that way, and I'm not really close with this guy, and so I'm just going to keep walking. Does that work? Did the Samaritan know this man? No. But big cities are organized in different ways. Yeah, I agree. Amen. They're organized in ungodly ways. They're not following God's word. That's right. Big cities are organized in different ways. They're not organized the way Jesus would want us to live. Here's the second thing they said. It must be borne in mind that these neighbors did not commit the crime. One must focus upon the murderer, not the other people. Well, of course, but that's beside the point. The Good Samaritan didn't say, walk away. Now let's just focus on the robber. Jesus told the story. In fact, the robbers were incidental to Jesus' story. The Good Samaritan was the main point. He said, go and do likewise. He focused on what the man did that was good. Yeah, we need to put the murderer behind bars, absolutely. But what about the rest of the 38 people, 38, who witnessed some part of this, and they're just practicing the silver rule? Well, I'm not going to do unto them what I don't want done unto me. It's not my problem. Mind your own business. Here's the third thing that these professors said. It is difficult to know what any of us would have done in a similar circumstance. Well, it shouldn't have been. If we're following God's word, we should know quickly what we need to do. Yeah, it's only when we're not following God's word that we don't know what to do in a certain situation. That's right. But brethren, as Christians and as God's people, and God's Word is not just some academic exercise on Sunday mornings. It's real life in our daily life that we're going to put into practice as soon as the service is over with. We might need to do something while we're out at lunch later. We should know what to do. That's why Jesus tells us in advance what to do and how to live. Here's the fourth thing they said. Hindsight is always better than foresight. Well, there was no sight. That's the problem. In fact, Jesus is giving us the foresight so that we don't have to look back after it's gone. He's telling us ahead of time how to live. Here's the fifth thing they said. People hesitate to enter a violent situation alone. But organization takes time, and there wasn't enough time for that. Well, the Good Samaritan obviously realized, I can do something just by myself. Hey guys, can I get 10 other guys to help me before... He just did it by himself. It's amazing how individuals like this, living with worldly wisdom, will turn the Bible upside down. Here's the next thing they said. What are we up to? Six? No one knows the quality of the relationship that Miss Genovese had with the community. You don't have to have a quality relationship with someone. You just help them. In fact, I would say most, 9 times out of 10, it's going to maybe be a complete stranger with no relationship. But we do what is right. That's absurd. What we're doing is we're finding scholarly and slick ways to excuse our immoral behavior. And you slap some Harvard University professors on it, and that somehow makes it all okay. And so we don't listen to Jesus anymore. We listen to the 2 Harvard professors. Number 7. A collective paralysis may have seized the neighbors. No, an ungodly attitude of someone not following God's word. That's what seized the neighbors. Number 8. People in the city are hardened to street life. The street is often symbolic of the vulgar. I may say amen to that. People have become hardened by human wisdom. They won't follow the word of God. Last of all, and this one just takes the cake. Heroic efforts frequently backfire. Well, isn't that nice? So we're just going to stay away because it might come back and get me. So the Good Samaritan walking on, why? That might come back and bite me. Better not help him out. Aren't we thankful to Jesus and the Good Samaritan that the 2 Harvard law professors were not a part of that discussion? So no, we're not going to live by this so-called silver rule. What we're going to live by is what Jesus said, and we want to turn our attention now to that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. That story is over 50 years old, but it goes on every day. Matthew 7:12. All things, therefore, whatsoever. This is universal in scope. What Jesus is laying down here applies to every aspect of our life, personal, private, public, and otherwise. All things, therefore, whatsoever. We're not going to use prejudice and only do it in certain areas. We're not going to follow the scholarly gobbledygook that we just heard. We're going to follow the simple and plain teaching of God's Word, and we're going to apply that in every aspect of our life. I wanted to say something else about this before we go on, because I've actually heard this. Look at the statement, and all things whatsoever, look at this, you would that men should do, you would. This is assuming that you and I have a proper view of self. Remember, Jesus is talking to His disciples, those who would follow His teaching and not the world. The reason I put this in here is because some people do this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What if I'm a masochist? I like people beating on me. And there are people like that. They like pain and beating and that type of thing. Well, their attitude is, well, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay, I like to be beat so I can beat others. Does that work? No, Jesus is talking about a you that is assuming a you that is following God's Word. There's some people who do this. I lie to other people because I don't mind if they lie to me. I hit other people because I don't mind if they hit me. I gossip about other people. I don't care if they gossip about me. Look at that. The you has to be conditioned upon someone who's following God's Word. And we have to factor that in. There's some men who beat their wives and their attitude is, I don't care if she hits me back. Well, does that make it right? Well, of course not. We're talking about when we say what you would have them do unto you, that you has to be guided by God's Word. In Romans 12, verse 3, we're not to think more highly than we ought to think, but think soberly as God has given a measure to us. Our thinking has to be according to God's Word. Look at Matthew 22, 39. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Some people don't know how to have a proper view of themselves. So they mistreat their neighbor. Some people don't have a proper view of self, and so you can't love your neighbor as yourself if your own self is not following God's Word. So we're talking about someone, of course, who is conforming to God's Word. And then Jesus said that men should do unto you. All things, therefore, whatsoever, universal in nature, you would, that's you and I who are following God's Word, that men should do unto you. Jesus is saying the way we, following God's Word, desire others to treat us, and we're going to do that even if they never treat us this way. It's an attitude of how we treat them. We don't find out whether they would treat us this way or not first and then do it. We just do it the way we would want to be treated. And then Jesus closed with this, even so, meaning in the exact same manner. We're going to treat others in the exact same manner that we would want to be treated. And then He says, do you also. It's active and personal. Jesus said after He finished the parable there, the story of the Good Samaritan, He said, go and do likewise. That's why we started right after the sermon's over with. It's not in the realm of the theoretical and the hypothetical. Jesus is not like Buddha and Confucius, and they have these interesting little statements, like refrigerator sayings, but we really don't have to do it. It's real. We're to have real relationships with people that help them. We don't have time to look at it. But if you go back to Luke chapter 10 and you look at the beginning of that story, you'll see a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer, who wanted to keep that whole discussion in the realm of the theoretical. Well, who is my neighbor? You know, he was just simply trying to excuse himself from helping others. And Jesus, before it was over with, brought it down to the practical and the real. You've got to go out, young man, and do this. And I hope this morning we'll do the same. So as we close, let's look at a few applications. I said at the beginning of the lesson, if there is one biblical principle of Jesus that if we could get the whole world to practice it for just one day, think of how better things would be, just every level, every level. How about in our marriage and family? there would be a lot less fighting. I'm not going to fight with somebody else. I don't want them fighting with me. Be a lot less divorce. Be a lot less adultery. And on and on and on. You look at the problems in our homes, and we have those, including mine. We're no different. We're not exempt from that. And as we work through those problems and those issues, when I look at that, I see that much of it is just traced to this right here, the golden rule. And you don't have to pay for high-paid marriage counseling to get that one. Just open up to Matthew 7:12. I'm not opposed to counseling, but Jesus is counseling us. If we would apply the golden rule in the local congregation, there would be less gossip and less self-will, where I'm just going to do what I want to do. I don't care about others. Less evil surmising, less division, less inactivity, where I don't want to do anything. I wouldn't gossip about other members because I don't want them gossiping about me. And I'm not going to be divisive because I don't want other people to be divisive. You see how it just would clear up a lot of things. How about our society as a whole? The jails would shut down in a heartbeat. Much of what goes on in society is a violation of what Jesus said. Less crime, less ungodliness, less abortion, less laziness. Y'all work with people, I'm sure, who have this attitude. I'm going to get paid for 8 hours, but I'm going to work about two. Well, let me ask you this. If you apply the golden rule, let me ask you this. The next time something breaks at your house and you call the repairman over, would it be okay for him to charge you for 2 hours when you worked 15 minutes? Would that be okay? You would have a fit. And yet we'll do it to somebody else. You see the point? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then last of all, what about the lost around us? We eat beside them at the restaurants. We live beside them in our neighborhoods. We were glad. I was glad. We were glad when somebody brought the gospel to us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We would want them to let us know about the truth, to let us know about how to get to heaven, to let us know about how to change our life. We wouldn't want them to leave us in ignorance, so we don't want to treat them that way. We don't want them condoning our sins and errors. We don't want them just enabling us. So we're not going to do that with them. And so whatever we can do to invite folks to services, set up a Bible study, to talk with them about the Word of God. The golden rule. Don't let anybody in the world make it anything less than golden. It is the foundation. And so at the very end of the verse, Jesus says, "This is the law and the prophets." Everything hangs on this. It's foundational. And it's so clear and concise and simple. It is, I believe, the principle that would solve most, if not all, problem relationships. That's how much I believe that. And we need to get back to that thing that we can all quote, but it would be good if we went out and lived it. And so that's the encouragement for us this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to turn in your supplement to number 56, "Where Could I Go?" We can come now to Jesus for help. We can come to Him and return to Him in some way if we need to. We can respond in baptism if we need to. But let's go out and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I'll try to do the same. And you'll see how much it just brightens up marriage, family, the local church, and as much as we can affect our society around us. If you're subject to the invitation in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?